You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you A Light in the World with Christine Rossi.
Welcome to A Light in the World. I am so glad you're with us today. I invite you to be part of this wonderful show by calling us at 866-333-6279. That's 866-333-MARY. We would love to have you part of our show. Listen, you can also listen to this show again because it's going to be posted in my podcast section on my website, www.alightintheworldusa.org, and Bob, my webmaster, will have it posted hopefully by the end of the day. You know what a difference a week makes in so many lives. And all of you who were in the path of the storm were in our prayers as we watched Laura head straight your way. Radio Maria family, I am not that good at writing prayers, but it was in my heart to write this short prayer for you all. Sweet Jesus, we bow before you in thanksgiving for our lives. We ask you, Jesus, to bring home to heaven those who have perished in the storm and give strength to all who have lost so much. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, and we will glorify your name this and every hour that Radio Maria broadcast on the air. Amen. Well, here we are in September. Yay, September. You know, it's the month of Our Lady of Sorrows. And we often see the picture of Our Lady of Sorrows as she stands with her hands raised in prayer and seven swords are piercing her most immaculate heart. Well, the chaplet of the Seven Sorrows of Mary is a walk through the sorrows of Our Lady's life after the birth of Jesus. The beautiful novena of Our Lady of Sorrows starts on September 7th. If you are not familiar with this chaplet of the Dolors, please go to my website because Bob has posted some information for you and you'll learn more. And if you've never done the Dolors, you will love them. Well, Maximilian Kolbe once said, never, never be afraid of loving the Blessed Virgin too much. You can never love her more than Jesus did. Isn't that great? I think that is a fantastic quote because we all love Mary here at Radio Maria. I have a real treat for you today as we're going to have a talk and a conversation and some fun with an experienced pilgrim, traveler, and leader. She's a pilgrim. She goes on many pilgrimages, and she has led several as well. Her name is Judith Weibel. She's one of the most versatile women that I know. She's a business owner, a speaker on the topic of Magicory, and a writer in a newspaper. And she lives in a cabin on a mountain, which is not an easy feat. She keeps telling me. She loves her horses. And if you ever go to visit her, trust me, you will be on one of those horses. Well, Judith is also the widow of Wayne Weibel, a well-known author and speaker on his experiences in Magicory for several years. She has taken over the reins, get it, reins, horses, all right, of the Weibel Columns and the New Hope Press Publishing House. Her little book and gift store has some treasures in it, wonderful books that you don't see in normal bookstores. I am wearing one of the Magicory blue shirts that she designed, and I love it. And what I really like is when I wear it out to places, people look at the name Magicory, which is spelled with every letter in the world in it, and try to pronounce it, and they just like going, mubba, and that's really a lot of fun. Well, you know, Christian pilgrimages can be documented as far back as the 4th century, and people traveled to sites connected with the birth, life, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus. St. Jerome and St. Helena, the mother of Constantine the Great, encouraged all to make these pilgrimages at least once a year. Pilgrimages are not simply vacations. You're not going to go lay out on a beach somewhere and have a waiter bring you a cocktail. No, they are an opportunity to step out of ourselves in order to encounter God. Pilgrims go to Holy Land, to Rome, famous apparition sites of the Virgin Mary. But the brakes have been put on these wonderful experiences because of the COVID virus. It has hurt not only the travelers, but the economy that depends on these visitors in their little villages. With that, I want to welcome Judith Weibel. Hi, Judith. Are you with us?
I am with you, Christine.
Well, it's good to have you here. You know, before we start talking about pilgrimages, tell us about Weibel Columns, because not everyone is familiar with this paper.
Well, my husband, Wayne, started Weibel Columns back in the late 1980s. It was before we all were on the internet. And he started writing a monthly newspaper to bring the story of Medjugorje to Americans. Many American Catholics and his fellow Christians had never heard of the apparition site, being that it was in a communist country on the other side of the world. And so his newspapers were really the first form of information that Americans shared here.
And are they still in paper form?
Absolutely. We still print at the local newspaper. We print every month. However, last year we also added electronic version because many people read the newspaper on their iPhone or iPad or computer. And so now we have both options.
You know, I really love reading it hard copy. I'm just old fashioned like that. There are some things I love to read on my Nook, and I like that format as well. But having the paper in my hand, I can take a marker and I can mark things that I want to talk to Al about or maybe even bring up on my show. So I hope you can continue both venues. So what's the future of the paper?
We intend to expand it. Right now, I'm trying to expand subscriptions so that we can share this message of Medjugorje throughout the nation even more. And so recently, I kind of asked every subscriber if they could subscribe a friend. I'd also like to make the issue larger each month. I have considered that. There's so much information I would like to add and never enough space.
So what's happening in Medjugorje right now since the pilgrims from the United States at least can't even get there? What's going on?
Well, right now there are a lot of Irish pilgrims going and many pilgrims from Europe and also the surrounding areas of Bosnia. There's pilgrims from Poland and such. And so they have had a considerable number of people there. However, there's a lot of Americans that are really disappointed that they can't get to Medjugorje. So I think it's probably affected the tourism there to some degree. You know, there's just the restaurants are half empty. It's really sad. Yeah. Hopefully soon the borders will open up and Americans will be allowed back.
Yeah, we sure hope so, because you have a lot of people calling you constantly and calling the travel agency 206 to find out when and how and where can we go and how can we get to Medjugorje. So who is receiving the messages now?
The visionaries that are still receiving daily messages are Ivan and Maria and Visca. They receive messages every single day, and the other visionaries, which are three also, just have an apparition once a year.
And do you have a copy of the newest message that you could share?
I do. I have Our Lady's message, which she gave to Maria on August 25th. It reads, "Dear children, this is a time of grace. I am with you, and I am calling you, little children. Return to God and to prayer until prayer will be a joy for you. Little children, you do not have a future or peace until your life begins with a personal conversion and a change to the good. Evil will cease and peace will begin to reign in your heart and in the world. Therefore, little children, pray, pray, pray. I am with you and intercede before my son Jesus for each of you. Thank you for having responded to my call."
Oh, I love that. I love to be called her little children. Isn't that neat? That's very cool. And the word conversion over and over again, everybody needs conversion. I mean, we need to convert every day. I mean, seriously, maybe every minute in my house. Self-conversion is so powerful. And by doing so, you stop and think a little different about how you're going to respond to other people in a more loving way, maybe more generous way. And that hate will diminish because you open up your heart and the graces can come in. So I love that part of the message. Is there any part of that message that calls out to you, Judy?
I think for me, it's where she's saying in the future, or you will now have no peace, that you, that call for conversion is connected to the peace that you have in the future. Without conversion, you do not have peace. Right. And that is a powerful sentence, because the world today seeks peace, and yet people look in the wrong places continually and find no peace. And that's the secret. The secret is the conversion.
It certainly is the secret of conversion. And of course, that was also a message from Fatima. So this is kind of an extension of Our Lady of the Rosary in Fatima. By the way, I highly recommend everybody to see the newest movie on Fatima. It's excellent. It's very good. And you can download it on your Nooks or your computers or your TVs through Prime and many other sources. I'm not sure how many movie theaters it's in. Our movie theaters around here have just now started to open up. But check it out. Check it out for sure. So, of course, Magigori is completion of the messages from Fatima. Wow.
Yes.
Isn't that exciting? You're right. Now let's talk about I love your store and the availability of some really, really interesting books. Of course, we've purchased about every Magigori book I think we have. It's here because my husband reads all of them. But do you have some other books that you recommend for people if they ask for recommendations?
Well, we sell almost everything on Medjugorje, as you've just mentioned, but we also have a lot of books from Divine Mercy Center. So we do a whole collection of books on Divine Mercy, and we have books by Father Donald Calloway as well, pretty much his whole selection, and books by Susan Tassoni. You've had her on your show, known as the Pilgrimage Lady.
Yes.
And Immaculée Ilabagiza, the Rwandan genocide survivor. We have all of her books. So we've tried to widen our horizons a little bit. Rather than just selling about Medjugorje, we touch on other Marian things and Divine Mercy, just anything that brings people's spiritual nourishment. That's what we want to sell.
Well, you know, just wearing this T-shirt's bringing me spiritual nourishment. Do you still have the T-shirts?
We do, long sleeve and short sleeve, and they're really popular. Yeah, we've sold way more than we expected to sell of those. They are awesome.
They are really awesome. They do. Well, I want to ask you now, you know, because pilgrimages have been going on, like I said earlier, since the 4th century, and just about every religion known to man has a special pilgrimage site. But why are they so important to go to?
Well, pilgrimage is important because it's part of our spiritual growth. Without it, we cannot stay in, we often stay in the same place in our faith journey. But through pilgrimage, we can receive special graces to move forward, to move closer to Christ. And I do believe that God calls us on pilgrimage. We always say in Medjugorje that Our Lady calls us on pilgrimage. When there are special graces to be given to us, and when we are at home with the busyness of our lives, sometimes it's impossible for God to speak to us and shower us with those graces. And when he calls us on pilgrimage, it's because he has a powerful grace to give us. And we take a week out of our lives and we quieten down, no television, et cetera, et cetera. And we give that week to God. And when we give that week to God, he can get through the noise of life, you know, that quietness. And pilgrimage is not just about prayer to God, but perhaps more importantly, it's about listening to God and sitting quietly, which many of us don't get to do when we're at home and we have people to care for and jobs to go to. We don't take the time to quiet and ourselves and just listen to God.
And that is so important. You're absolutely right. We are being called to conversion. And in order to be converted, we need to sit and be with Jesus. That was just astounding, heartbreaking, took our oxygen out when the churches were closed. And that type of thing, going someplace to a shrine, they're finally reopening them. Now, we like to go to some of the local shrines, my husband and I, just for long weekends. We've done pilgrimages as well. And you can do that too. But what's important is you step out of your norm. Okay, get out of that comfort zone for a little bit and put that phone down, for crying out loud, and look at each other if you're with your husband or your family. Take walks, do the rosary, do the Stations of the Cross. A lot of these shrines are just exquisite. But, you know, Judy, because of COVID, the large gatherings of people have been stopped, even in the Holy Land at the Wailing Wall. Do you think that's ever going to come back?
I do believe it will. I think this time has given us a desire to go on pilgrimage more. We've perhaps taken it for granted in the past few years, and now we have this strong desire to go back. And when these places do open up, and they will open up again, COVID is not going to be with us forever. There's going to be a huge boom in pilgrimage travel as people desire that oneness with God again. The people that go on pilgrimage every year crave pilgrimage. The more you spend time alone with God, the more you want to spend time alone with God. So I have complete faith that our future is going to be a bright one.
I love that. I really love that. I remember when I was at Fatima and I was sitting there in the big open area where Mary appeared to those beautiful children, and I could just feel her. You know, I was alone. I kind of broke away from the pack, you know, and I sat there on the wall and I watched people as they crawled, Judy, they crawled a long distance in reparation for their sins and for prayerfully lifting up their intention for husbands, wives, whoever they brought the intentions. And it's just so beautiful. And of course, I will never, ever forget the procession at night with all the candles, and people walk to Fatima. You know, it's a pilgrimage for many people in the areas, I say areas, in Lisbon, that they walk over to Fatima for that procession, and you see them walking from all different areas. It's like Pentecost, as the light of the world comes together, walks behind Jesus Christ and his beautiful mother who is hoisted up. It is something that I hope everybody gets to go and see, a Mary apparition area. Fatima, Medjugorje, Lourdes, it's just...
Cabejo.
We're going to talk about Cabejo in a minute. Hang on to Cabejo. Hang on to that one. Because, you know, it used to be so hard, and people who walk from all the different areas in Lisbon, they walk, okay? They don't drive, they walk, and they sleep down on the ground. They don't fly. Now, most of us who go on pilgrimages from the United States, even though they're long flights, we're taking airplanes, and then we have buses waiting for us, and you know, we're kind of chauffeured around and pretty spoiled even on pilgrimage. So I highly recommend you look into it if you don't want to get too far out of your comfort zone. Trust me, you really aren't. Now, Judith, what is the structure of a pilgrimage? Like, who sets up all these arrangements?
Well, there's various different travel agencies in the United States that does pilgrimages. However, one that I would strongly recommend is 206 Tours. I've been working with 206 Tours, as my husband had preceding me. He had been with them for about, 20 odd years, and they really do it right. They do it in a good Catholic manner. There's always Mass every day. It's done for the right reasons. It's the holiness and the spirituality of the pilgrimage is their priority from the moment you book the pilgrimage until the moment you return home. For example, they include not only your airline tickets come to your house before you leave, but also a prayer book. And there's a hymn book and, you know, different opportunities for you to prepare for your pilgrimage before even leaving the country. We always take a priest on our pilgrimage, a good spiritual director, so that the pilgrims have access to that during their pilgrimage. They're really wonderful. They're also excellent with logistics. They arrange the travel, and it's like one price for everything. You don't have to worry about the incidentals as you move through the pilgrimage.
That's great. And I heard also when 206 took a huge group and take many, many huge groups to the Holy Land, they're pretty much located in one hotel so that you're not dragging your luggage up and down the street. That would be a real, that's a real plus. You know, I can't imagine Al and I packing. So that's really important. And there are many, many wonderful travel agencies out there. I know Judith and I both have wonderful experiences with that particular travel agency. It was just it was a trip that we'll never forget. And you know, when you're going on pilgrimage, many people want to go by themselves, and I understand that. But I think for the first pilgrimage, as we did in Medjugorje, which was a little different than my trip to Fatima, but you should really go with a group, and you can break off from the group, but at least they have the logistics. You know where you're going. There's a bus there, and you're not going to be walking around aimlessly wondering, did I miss anything? Trust me, you will not miss anything. Well, you just get so absorbed in everything when you go places, whether, as I said, whether you're traveling to a shrine here in the United States or Canada, just look where you put your feet on the ground, because you're walking on holy ground in those precious shrines all over the world and here in the United States. And as you do, realize that all this was created by God, and He just wants to take you away from this busyness to breathe Him in and breathe Him out. Now, Judith, you have led pilgrimages yourself. Where did you lead the pilgrimage?
I've led two pilgrimages to Medjugorje alone since my husband's now passed away, and I did a couple with him. However, of course, he was the primary leader. And I also had a few pilgrims that came with me to Israel, but it was part of 206 Tours, much larger group. And that's been it so far, because now we have COVID. And our pilgrimage, which should be leaving on October 30th this year to Medjugorje, we're not sure whether we will be going or not at this time. Sadly, it's up in the air. So we have one scheduled for next year, which I'm very excited about.
We're going to talk about that when we come back from our break, because we're going to take a little 3-minute break here and listen to another one of our friends, Judy Annie Carto's got a beautiful song that she's going to sing during this little break. Well, you go grab a drink of water and don't go away. We'll be right back, everybody.
Teach us wisdom. Teach us love.
Listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home, we now return to A Light in the World with Christine Rossi.
Well, hi, welcome back. We're talking about pilgrimages today with Judith Weibel, who's many pilgrims she's been on, and she's also led a few and will lead more in the future. Judith is also a speaker about Medjugorje and would love to come to your church or group. And so we're going to, first, before we start talking pilgrimage again, Judith, we need to find out how people can get a hold of the newspaper columns, Weibel columns.
Well, to make it easy for you, I'm going to give you one phone number, and that is the phone number to our office, and they can order their newspaper if they just leave a message. If I'm not there, they can call me about pilgrimages. They can call me about speaking. Our free phone number is 1-877-896-6061.
Okay, say that number one more time.
Okay, it's 877-896-6061. We also have a website, and it's www.weibelcolumns.org. And I'm going to spell Weibel. It's W-E-I. B for Bill, L-E, and then column, like a newspaper column, weibelcolumns.org.
Awesome, awesome. Well, that phone should be ringing off the wall tomorrow. Or maybe. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, there's so many things that I want to talk to you about, but right now, let's go into the why 2021 trip to Medjugorje is going to be so fabulous.
Well, it's going to be incredibly special because it's actually the 40th anniversary of the Medjugorje apparitions. This is historic, and never in the history of the world has Our Lady come in apparition for as long as she has done in Medjugorje. And now it's reaching 40 years next year. I mean, it's unbelievable, 40 years. And as we know, everything in the Bible is always 40. Everything's 40. 40 is a very important number. So we expect to have a huge group next year for the 40th anniversary. The dates of the pilgrimage are June 21st through the 30th, and the anniversary is actually on June 25th. Ironically, Wayne's birthday was June 26th, so he was in Medjugorje many times on his birthday leading anniversary pilgrimages.
Oh, that's so cool. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be an awesome trip. So get ready, because you're going to be one of the leaders, I'm sure. For sure. But, you know, there are many places that you've been, okay? And we're just started. I kind of stopped you with Cabejo. So tell us about Cabejo, how it came about that you were one of the leaders of that pilgrimage, and what all do you do out there in Africa?
Well, we had a phone call to the office, and it actually came from Uganda, which is the country next door to Rwanda. Cabejo, of course, is in Rwanda, and we were asked to take a group and for Wayne to speak in Uganda. So we planned for Wayne's speaking engagement, and I put together a mission trip to go with Wayne, and we would take many items, medical supplies and clothes for the children in a local orphanage. There's much HIV in Uganda. So we took a lot of things, and I planned this whole mission trip. And then when my friend found out that I was going there, of course, my friend Immaculée Ilabagiza, who writes about Cabejo and is from Rwanda, and she recommended that I also add Rwanda to the trip to Uganda. So we added an extra week to the trip, and we did a pilgrimage to Cabejo after Uganda. And then about a month before we left to go on the trip, Immaculée decided to join us on the pilgrimage. So it was really wonderful to have her expertise, as she knows so much about Cabejo and the country. And so she was a huge asset to the group. And we had a wonderful pilgrimage. It's not as busy, obviously, as Medjugorje. It's much quieter when you're there. So we did spend some time sharing as a pilgrimage group, because there's not as much, I don't want to say entertainment, but I mean entertainment, you know. It's a lot quieter, you know, but it was a beautiful, beautiful trip.
Now,
and sorry, I'll add one thing. When you talked about people walking from all over to get to Cabejo, the following year we went for the anniversary of the apparitions, and people walked from all the surrounding countries. It would take them 2 to 3 weeks to walk to Cabejo, and they would sleep on the side of the road and carry sacks of grain and cook the grain at night on the side of the road and then walk just to go to the anniversary of the apparitions at Cabejo. It was incredible to watch, although I did feel guilty riding on a really nice coach to get there.
Yeah, you should have, really. They should have made you walk back. Now, a lot of people don't know about the visionaries there in Cabejo. Can you kind of give us a little fetter on this, what's going on, what did go on there at Cabejo?
Well, it all started about the same time as the Medjugorje apparitions started. And it happened, I think, about 10 years before the Rwandan genocide. A lady appeared to several children in the school at Cabejo. The first child she appeared to was during her lunch hour while she was helping clean up after the other students after lunch. And her main message in Cabejo was similar to that of Medjugorje, where she said, you know, if you do not turn your lives back to God and pray to God and pray for one another and love God and love one another, there will be rivers of blood that will flow through this country. And as we all know, not enough people prayed, I guess. And during the massacre, the rivers in Rwanda did turn red from the blood of the people.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was a horrific, horrific time over there. And, of course, you know the story of Immaculée. And if you haven't read her books, I forget the first. What is the title of her book?
Left to Tell.
Left to Tell is the first one. And then she wrote one after that. It's all about forgiveness. And if you're holding on to petty things, okay, about little petty arguments and things with people or family, and you read this book, honestly, you will feel so silly hanging on to those things when you see what this woman has forgiven and how she found it in her heart to forgive all these horrible things, all these people who killed her family. And she's just a beautiful, beautiful woman. She was on the show a couple years ago, and it was just an honor and a pleasure to be hosting her. Now, are there still pilgrimages that go to Cabejo?
Not right now with the COVID, but I would imagine as soon as the COVID restrictions have been lifted, there will be a few pilgrimages going there again. Yes.
Very good. You know, I've heard so many powerful stories from people who are transformed after returning from pilgrimages. Can you share some of your experiences with us?
Wow. Where to start? The first pilgrimage that I took to Medjugorje, I kind of went out of curiosity, probably to some degree as well. But in Medjugorje, I was instantly given knowledge of the reality of God. I was praying up on the mountain, the stations of the cross. And when I came to the 10th station, Jesus is stripped of his garments. My soul was immediately stripped in front of God, and I received, like I said, instant knowledge to the reality of God and knew how much he loved me in that moment. I knew I had to start putting him in the first place in my life, and I felt remorse over decisions I've made in the past and had the most compelling desire for confession. That moment changed my life. And so that was my special gift that I received on the first pilgrimage I went to Medjugorje. I came back a completely changed person. And the Mass was alive to me after I returned. Before that, I would sit in church through Mass, but didn't understand the incredible power of Holy Mass. But that instant knowledge of God put in my heart an understanding of the reality of everything holy, if you like. It's not really something I can easily put in words, but it was the most incredible grace, and I received it in Medjugorje.
That's amazing. Now, for those who've been to Medjugorje, you know what it's like to walk up the hill, even the apparition hill, and it's all very jagged rocks, and I don't think there are two rocks that are the same, you know, putting your foot this way, that way. And didn't you tell me once that you just literally ran down that hill to get to confession?
That was at that moment. Yes, I never made it past the 10th station that day. And I turned and I ran all the way down the hill. I don't know how I survived, and ran across the fields and straight into the confessional. And it was exhilarating. I mean, it was an exhilarating moment. And it was funny. My mother was with me on that pilgrimage, and she was not touched instantly. She came home from that pilgrimage and increased her prayer life. And it was over a period of a few months that she completely changed her life and was touched. So it's different for everybody.
That's how God works. He works like that. And sometimes, you know, when he blesses us, as you said, you got yours like bam, you know, and your mother received hers in bits and pieces. And I've heard that even when Father Peter Mary Rookie, the world-renowned healing priest, would touch people on the altar, and some of them would just like, wow, get totally healed. And others would just like go back to church, start saying the rosary and think, I didn't get touched at all. And I'm going, well, wait a minute. You haven't been to daily Mass in years. Picked up that rosary. What's going on? And, well, maybe I was touched. So however Jesus chooses to work with you, sometimes it's behind the scenes and it's for a long, long period of time. Now, I know, Judas, in Medjugorje, another instance for you was when we had adoration and you stayed on your knees down there in front. We couldn't find you, but we later heard about this, that you knelt how long and didn't even realize it?
I knelt for an hour, which I'm kind of fussy. So for me to kneel with a bad back and all for an hour without realizing it outside on the concrete ground is a miracle in itself. And I literally had no idea. I began praying at the outside adoration, and I just knelt down like I always do. And suddenly the priest picked up the monstrance and starts blessing the crowd with his monstrance. And I was like, what's he doing? It's always an hour long. It's 9 till 10 on that particular night. And I turned to my friend and I said, you know, what's he doing? You know, why are we stopping now? And she's like, it's 10 o'clock. It always finishes at 10 o'clock. And I was like, it can't possibly be. We only just started. And, you know, it's not often I get so deep in prayer that I lose track of my own body and my own being. And in that moment, so many people were in deep prayer. I mean, you could literally reach out and touch the Holy Spirit in the air.
It is that powerful. It truly is. And, you know, as humans, we all are searching for something. We're searching for wholeness. And you've heard these stories of very, very successful people, and they're still not happy. And you just want to say, what's going on? You're living in this huge house and you got everything at your, you know, fingertips here. Why aren't you happy? Because they don't have God. Well, we're searching for holiness and wholeness, and going on these type of religious pilgrimages is a good way to find it and find yourself, because it is a different format for your whole structure. You know, sacred spaces have very special traditions, and they enrich your soul You cannot walk away without being touched. And if you don't think you were touched, just wait till you start opening that Bible and being hungry for the Word of God and going back to church and just smiling at people instead of growling at them. But I've heard friends who've left behind part of themselves. Now, not an arm and a leg, you know, but a part of themselves that they always were known for. Like, they were always known for being grumpy or sarcastic or, you know, things that were not at all generous in spirit to other people. And they've come back from these types of pilgrimages and they've changed. And yes, we can change. I don't believe in that a leopard never changes his spots. I think we all have the ability to change our hearts. And that's what God wants, and that's what Mary keeps asking us to pray for. Conversion of our hearts, conversion of our souls, letting go of fear, letting go of hate, and bringing peace into your world. You know, now the Holy Land allows you to actually touch and see the physical manifestations of our faith, where Jesus walked. Now, Judith, I know the last time you were at the Holy Land, you had a few special guests there. Can you tell us about that?
Well, we had 8 incredible priests, one of which was Father Donald Calloway, as I mentioned earlier. I believe he has been on your show also. And we had Jim Caviezel along on that pilgrimage, which was really incredible. He gave several talks in the evening, and it was really interesting listening to him. Ironically, he spoke about Medjugorje a lot on his first talk there, and I could only sit back and laugh and say, well, I go to Medjugorje all the time, and I run a Medjugorje center, and I came to Israel to hear a talk about Medjugorje. It was really good. He was great.
And the talk was given by Jesus. How about that?
Yes.
There's a famous picture that I had on my refrigerator that Judith took. And it's a picture of Jim Caviezel with a lamb over his shoulders. And where was that taken?
In Shepherd's Field, in Bethlehem, just near the church at Bethlehem, after going and visiting the church where Christ was born. And then we went around to Shepherd's Field afterwards.
That and to see Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion, and, you know, to see him walking out of the tomb of Christ, that must have been something else.
Yes, I think a few people took pictures of that. That was really good. But we kept our focus on the real Jesus during the pilgrimage, too.
I'm sure you did. Oh, it was a wonderful trip. I was not on that particular trip, but I saw all the pictures, and it was just incredible to have all those wonderful priests giving their talks. And, you know, it's got to be, and Matthew Leonard was there, and he's been on my show several times. He's one of my favorite guests. But I have, like I said, friends who've left behind part of themselves, the parts that they really didn't want to carry through life, through their salvation. So that is just great. Listen, we still have some time. If you do want to call in and share anything with a pilgrimage you had been on or one you might want to go on, give us a call. 866, that's 866-333-6279. That's 866-333-6279. Now, a long time ago, I used to plan conferences and retreats for people. And, you know, people would always say, oh, what are we going to do on this retreat? Are we going to do this and this and this and this? Well, I would have to take them back to the definition of retreat. Retreat means to pull back, to retreat from the norm. You can do a retreat at home. You don't have to get on an airplane. You can do a home retreat. You can do a retreat by just going to adoration every single day for an hour and retreat away from your norm and retreat and just allow Jesus to come into your heart in Thanksgiving. And we have so much to be thankful for right now, especially after this storm. I mean, that storm could have, would have, and should have done a lot more. And I'm so glad and so thankful to the Lord that my Radio Maria family is all okay. And again, I'm sure they are all on their knees as well, and I'm sure there's a lot of prayer. Now, to walk in the different soil, I wanted to share an experience that I had in Fatima. And as we're walking around, and we went to the little village where the three little visionaries lived, and it's very interesting because they've saved the houses and kept them just as they were. So when you see this movie, Fatima, and there a lot of the action is inside the homes, you know, when they're cooking and eating and such, they are literally in the home where these children lived. Very small. Kind of you walk in, you turn around, there's a bedroom, you turn around, there's a little hearth. And so as we were walking through the area, I noticed these really incredible trees. I love trees. And I love trees. When I went to Rome, I loved the trees in Italy. And then I ask about these trees. Well, where do you hear this? Cork. They're cork trees. C-O-R-K. Cork trees. So if you ever want to know where cork comes from that you have in your wine bottle, it comes from a tree. So I guarantee you that you could use that for a trivia question. Where do corks come from? Because cork comes from trees. It's just amazing how they do it, how they process it. They just shave off the cork off of the tree, and they don't touch that particular tree for another 9 months, and they go on. So it's a beautiful thing as you travel around. I would never have known that, and I hope you learned something today. How about you, Judith? Did you get that?
Yes, I had never known that either. So that's like a new thing I have learned today. Thank you, Christine.
You're very welcome, and I expect that in the next columns, please. If you could go back to one of your sacred spaces, at one of those beautiful places you've been, and I know you're probably going to say Medjugorje, but is there any other place besides Medjugorje that you would like to return to, or a place you haven't been yet?
A place I would like to return to would be definitely the Holy Sepulchre, the place where Christ died and where his tomb is in Israel, in Jerusalem. I felt like I didn't get enough time to pray in there. And they do let a few people stay in overnight, and you actually get locked into the Holy Sepulchre. Once you're in there, and it isn't unlocked again until the morning. And a lot of people opt to do that, and you stay in the Holy Sepulchre all night long and you pray. And a group of five friends had joined me on the trip to Israel. And we often talk now about going back and being able to do that. So we each do have a strong desire to go and spend more time in prayer there. And then I have never been to Fatima. And now, since you've been talking about it, and I know there's cork trees there, I would really like to go to Fatima. I've been wanting to go to Fatima a long time, too. That would be my next on my bucket list, I think.
Oh, you won't be sorry. And they have olive trees and cork trees. And that's where the angel came and gave communion to the children. You know, the whole story is just amazing. Now, when you've been to Medjugorje, how many times, Judith?
Gosh, I would say probably 12, 13 times. And then I did spend 6 months there many, many years ago before I was with Wayne, before I met Wayne. I did go there and spend 6 months and stay with a local family. And that was a wonderful time.
Oh, that would have been so interesting. Now, I'm sure you've seen the sun spin there, have you?
Several times. To be honest, I never really look for it anymore. It's the change in people's hearts that I look for in the pilgrims that I take. But back when I first started going, yes, I was looking for sights and signs everywhere, you know, like many people look for the rosaries to turn gold and the sun to spin. But since then, I guess my faith has moved forward, and now I just look for the miracles of people's hearts changing. But I had quite an incredible experience during an apparition when I first went to an apparition, and that was when I was living in Medjugorje. That completely cemented my belief in the apparition site.
And are you going to share that? Don't leave us there and not take us there.
Well, I went to Mariana's house for her apparition, and it was back when Medjugorje was a lot quieter. So there was only a few of us going to the apparition, perhaps 10 other people and a couple of priests and nuns. And we all went downstairs to Mariana's basement living room. They were all Italian pilgrims, I think, except for one priest that was also English like myself. And Mariana knelt down at one end of the room and we all knelt behind her. And the familiar reciting of the rosary in Croatian began. And about halfway through the rosary, Mariana abruptly stopped and looked up, and Our Lady had come. Many of you have seen videos of this, or you have seen Mariana on her apparition of the second. You've seen her on YouTube and such doing that. But on this particular occasion, there was a young Italian boy of about 5 years old with Down syndrome, and he was kneeling right behind me. And as soon as Mariana looked up, he began mumbling loudly and fussing. And his mother tried to quiet him down, but she couldn't. And I remember in my humanity being frustrated with him and annoyed with him because he was spoiling my special moment. And then I felt so selfish for feeling that way. Anyway, after about 5 minutes, Mariana made the sign of the cross and stood up. Our Lady had left. But immediately, the young boy ran towards Mariana's living room wall where Mariana had been gazing during her apparition. And he began hitting the wall and asking through tears, "Where has the beautiful lady gone? I want to go with the beautiful lady." He was inconsolable. And it wasn't long before our small group realized that this little 5-year-old Italian boy who had Down syndrome had seen Our Lady in apparition. Oh. It was a true miracle to witness. And the mother was overjoyed, even though her son was crying so much. The joy that the mother experienced knowing that her son was chosen to see Our Lady. And there was no way this boy could be trained to do this. This was just naturally happening in a basement with a few other people around me. So it was quite incredible.
Our loving mother, isn't she wonderful? She's just so wonderful. There's no words on earth that can share how beautiful Our Lady is and how much she loves us and how much she puts up with us. That's for sure. She puts up with us. Now everything's going viral. And that's one thing. You can see the places, you know, on computer. You can see the sites and have the talks. But as soon as the doors open up, I highly recommend that you go to either a local shrine type of thing or overseas and go to Medjugorje, Lourdes, Fatima, Rwanda, because it's a totally different experience to taste the food, to smell the smells, to meet the people from all over the world. It's wonderful. Well, Judith, our time is up, believe it or not. And I just loved having you on today. And I'm looking forward to 2021. How about you? I think 2020 should be over tomorrow.
Yes.
We're all about singing 2020.
Good learning experience, but let's get it finished with.
Indeed, indeed. Well, God bless you, sweetheart. And all of you, again, you can hear this show at www.alightintheworldusa.org. It's in the podcast section probably later today, thanks to Bob Long. And you can hear this show again and again and again. Well, meanwhile, I will see you all next week and talk to you next week. God bless. Have a wonderful week. Bye now.